the emphasis is on litigators. The emphasis is on comfort level in the courtroom. The emphasis is making the strongest possible case to protect and defend our Constitution, to seek the truth for the American people.
This is Impeachment, a daily podcast from WNYC. I'm Brian Lehrer. It's Wednesday, January 15th. First of all, thanks to Bridget Bergen, Ilya Marritz, and Matt Katz for filling in when I was out sick. I am almost, as you can hear, recovered from my cold. Now, you just heard House Speaker Nancy Pelosi explaining why she chose who she chose to present the articles of impeachment to the Senate. And not to keep you in suspense about those names, but first, some quick housekeeping. Pelosi made her announcement at 10 o'clock this morning, just as my live show was getting underway. Today, we were broadcasting from the Green Space, which is WNYC's live events venue. So if you hear what sounds like an audience, don't worry, that's exactly what it is. We'll pick it up just after Pelosi made her announcement, and we'll start by breaking the suspense as I read the list of seven names. Chairman Adam Schiff, Democrat from California, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, also the House Judiciary Committee chairman, Jerry Nadler, Congressman Hakeem Jeffries of New York, Sylvia Garcia of Texas, Val Demings of Florida, Zoe Lofgren of California, and Jason Crow of Colorado. With us for this coverage is Princeton historian Julian Zelizer, also a CNN political analyst and author of many books, including his latest, Fault Lines, A History of the United States Since 1974. Please welcome to the Green Space Professor Julian Zelizer.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What do you think of that list?
Well, it's an interesting list. The biggest surprise is Congressman Crow, who's new. He's from Colorado. He's from a classic swing district, and he is the kind of person we spoke about a little earlier, who represents the non-progressive wing of the party, to show this is about a united party. The rest of the list are some of the most formidable figures, from Nadler and Schiff to Lofgren, who has a lot of gravitas in terms of how she thinks about impeachment. And it is more diverse. Pelosi delivered. This is a Democratic Party that looks very different than the Republican Party.
And about Congressman Crow from Colorado. Colorado is a state that has a swing state. It's a swing state, and it's got a Republican up for re-election this year, Cory Gardner. He has so far not shown a willingness to vote for witnesses or otherwise side with the Democrats, but the politics of his state could change as more comes to light, like the evidence that Chairman Schiff was talking about at the end there that I want to ask you about, these new documents from Lev Parnas. But, you know, if Jason Crow is popular in Colorado and he makes a good case, maybe in Colorado there's going to be more pressure on Cory Gardner, who could matter a lot.
That's exactly right. The Democrats, Pelosi and Schiff, were very clear in terms of why they waited. And they offered an explanation, she did in her statement, which was really interesting, about how do you use time and how time is an asset in congressional politics. And basically what she said is, by waiting, we have allowed more evidence to come forward to show just how bad the situation is, and at the same time to expose what Senate Republicans were about to do, which was essentially just to push this aside. And now there is more pressure on Senate Republicans, and the magic number of four has emerged of Republicans who want, at least from what we're hearing, some kind of process that resembles a trial. And so Gardner, Crow, Colorado, those swing states and swing districts, that's what's on Pelosi's mind.
Did you see these newly released documents from indicted Giuliani associate Lev Parnas, or the reporting on them, including a note from Rudy Giuliani seeking a meeting with President Zelensky back in May about announcing a Biden investigation, presumably. And Rudy says he is acting with the consent of the president as his personal lawyer. Is this new?
Well, it's not totally new, but it certainly confirms the worst parts of the story that have come out from the documents I've seen. It's once again, there is more evidence. And as the evidence come out, it only confirms the case that the Democrats put together. So that note is just more explicit rhetoric from Giuliani about what was going on. And then, of course, there's other documents, including the threats and intimidation and surveillance of the ambassador, which I think have been quite shocking and people are trying to process. Have we entered a world of House of Cards in real life all of a sudden?
Right. There's this guy, Robert Hyde from Connecticut, who I guess ran for Congress unsuccessfully last year as a Republican. Connecticut's delegation now used to be a little bit of a diverse state, red and blue, Connecticut. Now their entire congressional delegation is Democrat, and this guy ran unsuccessfully. But, oh my goodness, his use of the B word to describe Ambassador Yovanovitch over and over again and other things like that in communication with Parnas, what does it mean?
Yeah, and this is not, just a quick reminder in presidential history, all of this is not normal. This isn't, you know, what you expect, and oh yeah, this happens all the time. And so as you read through this, which is, I think, what Speaker Pelosi is trying to say as she announces that this is a serious situation, and she's arguing that the House had this constitutional obligation, regardless of the politics, to act. And these documents from last night, I think for many Americans, will confirm what's going on. And as she said, public sentiment is now on her side in terms of what Americans think in terms of the kind of process that's needed.
Right. And a third thing in there is an exchange between Parnas and Yuri Lutsenko, a former prosecutor in Ukraine, which basically says, Lutsenko is saying to Parnas, if you can't get Ambassador Yovanovitch fired, then I can't release charges against the Bidens that people will believe. So there's another wrinkle of quid pro quo. But in a way, this advances the story, and in a way, maybe not, because talk about things that are normalized. Trump himself, in the phone call in July, asked Zelensky to investigate Biden. And when the scandal broke in September, Trump asked him again, remember, out loud to the TV cameras at the White House. So this isn't the claim that, you know, Trump has gotten the most Republicans to side with him on, that yes, I do, and I did it, and I do want Zelensky to investigate Biden, and there's nothing wrong with that. Or I should say, Trump has gotten the Republicans, by and large, to side with him, you know, on saying, yeah, okay, he did it. There was nothing wrong with that. So in a way, this doesn't advance the story.
That's exactly right. There's two different storylines. One is the broader story about what happened and how does that affect national public opinion. That has not gone well for the president. Again, it's not normal to have such a large percentage of the country, between 45 and 51%, thinking the president should be impeached and removed. On the other hand, it doesn't necessarily change Republican opinion. I think you're exactly right. Again and again, each time there's an alleged turning point, each time there's new evidence, the Republicans end up standing firm. We have a little movement in the Senate, potentially on allowing witnesses, but it's not clear to me, even with what we just discussed coming out of last night's documents, that Republicans all of a sudden are scrambling and thinking, do we need to remove the president? Odds are they will not.
So the boxes of the articles of impeachment get delivered today in wooden boxes. McConnell says the trial will begin in earnest next Tuesday. What are the first things that the Senate does then?
Well, the first thing they have to do is make a decision on the rules of how this will proceed in terms of witnesses, in terms of other matters of process. And I don't know if they're going to do this behind closed doors, as took place in 1998, or do it more in public. In 98, Trent Lott and Tom Daschle were able to reach a bipartisan consensus. It was unanimous in terms of the rules moving forward. I can't imagine Schumer and McConnell have that kind of rapport, but we will see. So that will be the first step, and then the process will begin. You know, Justice Roberts might be in one of the hardest positions in terms of how much he says or what he does, but we will start hearing from the managers. Likely, we will not hear witnesses right away If we hear it all from witnesses, it will likely be after the managers speak, and it will likely be videotaped rather than live.
Before we end, I wonder if you would do me a favor, though. I printed out, whoever thought the word though by itself would be a laugh line. I printed out the actual oath that the senators take before an impeachment trial begins. Would you read this for everyone?
Sure. I solemnly swear or affirm that in all things appertaining to the trial of Donald Trump, now pending, I will do impartial justice according to the Constitution and laws, so help me God.
Senator Zelizer, you are now sworn in. But
I would like to hear from witnesses.
Case closed. That term, impartial justice, that you emphasized as you were reading it, is it legally binding in any way if people like McConnell are saying they're really just trying to help the president win?
Well, like with everything in the impeachment process, I think that's an open-ended question. I'm not sure what happens if they don't follow this. That's always the question with this process. And I think what Republicans have learned again and again, if they don't follow the strict letter of the law, if they are willing to stretch procedure and process, they can get away with it. And that's what we have learned in the Trump era.
Please thank Princeton historian Julian Zelizer.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Impeachment, a daily podcast, is excerpted from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, heard weekdays 10 a.m. to noon at WNYC.org. And if you want to be a caller on the show with an impeachment news question, call anytime and leave your name and where you're calling from. It's 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-8255. Talk to you tomorrow.